You're listening to the Free to Be Mindful podcast, which invites you along on a journey to learn of mindful living, grow in mental health, and inspire through personal growth. In a world where we can often feel much stress and overwhelm, this podcast provides bite-sized tips and real talk conversations, empowering you to embrace mindfulness and nurture your full potential. I'm your host, Vanessa De Jesus Guzman, educator, licensed professional counselor, entrepreneur, and mom. I'm passionate about helping others live life with peace of mind and ease of heart without losing their, well, you know. Here we go. Hello and welcome to episode 193 of the Free to Be Mindful podcast. I hope that you're feeling good, looking good, and doing better in this world than you were yesterday. So as a kid, I don't remember friendship drama really being present until fifth or sixth grade or so. And that's what people my age, you know, middle-aged people, usually think. However, working with kids, I see friendship drama happening earlier and earlier. I remember when I used to teach second grade, how some of the girls in particular would already begin taking on mean girl type of behaviors, like leaving other girls out. And I always wonder if that's because kids are exposed to more and more on TV and on social media than perhaps 20, 40 or plus years ago, or if it's just the way that we're raising our kids now. I'm really not sure. But just recently, my son, who's currently 10 years old, mentioned some friendship stuff that was happening among some of the boys in his class. He then suddenly broke into tears and said, "Mommy, what worked for you in the 1900s isn't working right now." And I just stopped there stunned and thought, 1900s? Because in my head, I was picturing like the Gilded Age with women walking around in these large petticoats and fancy hats and umbrellas and men dressing up in three-piece suits just to take a stroll down the park. And I thought I was providing him with words of wisdom on how to best handle friendship situations. However, my role as a mom is seen much differently than my role as a therapist. Although even some college-age students and even adult clients are surprised when I say and when they hear that my job is not to give them advice. It's to help them see things through varying perspectives, to help them gain a deeper sense of self-awareness, to help them understand what they've been through so they have a better sense of where they're going and make better decisions. The therapist role is very different from that of a BFF or that of a mom. And the thing is that we live in an era where there is advice and guidance found just about everywhere, from our relatives who speak about their own experiences to social media influencers on TikTok with their take of the day to individuals in our professional networks and social circles. We've really moved away from the era of Ask Annie, remember those? And we're just more in a technologically advanced culture where we have answers literally at our digital fingertips. I'm sure, yes, some of the advice is essential, helping us find resources and gain information that can apply to both health and wellness, relationships, work and financial goals, and day-to-day habits. And it makes me think of what I do alongside my other business partners of the Latinx Practice Collectives, this other business that we have together, where we help Latinx clinical entrepreneurs become the CEOs of their dreams to take their businesses to the next level. And receiving business advice from someone who is successful and has made it definitely helps the listener get new insights and new perspectives that can help guide them through uncharted territory. Because after all, you don't know what you don't know. But I'm sure you can see where I'm about to go with this. Some advice is wonderful and needed. And on the other hand, sometimes other advice can be unwelcome. Maybe it's from a loved one that means well, but doesn't have the best execution. Or maybe the advice is understanding of what it's like to be in your situation. It can be from a lack of common ground, a difference in experiences or mindsets that come from a lot of things, including various ages, challenges, cultures, backgrounds. And although the intention from someone else can be pure, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to align what holds true for you. And of course, advice can also come from a place that doesn't have your best interest in mind, which is why it's so important to invest in trust and faith in yourself and your own decision-making skills. So when we receive this unsolicited advice, how do we navigate it? Well, you know the popular saying, take the advice with a grain of salt. And this is important for so many reasons. The first is it helps us practice awareness with our surroundings. With so much information flowing around us all the time, it's important for us to learn to create our own filter for ourselves so that we can not only take in with what resonates with us, but we can also find credible sources and weed out the fake news that perhaps may not apply to us. Second, it helps us practice self-awareness. When we become much more comfortable with the truest versions of ourselves, we then build cognitive thinking skills and confidence in our decisions and in our own ideas. Third, it allows us to take rein and responsibility over our own actions. Rein, because it gives us the power to do things that benefit and help us grow, and responsibility, because it emphasizes the importance of learning from our mistakes, even when we have to learn the hard way. Fourth, it reminds us to not always jump the gun, exercising things with a degree of skepticism while also remembering to keep an open mind. Is significant because it actually encourages us to keep going, especially in a world where we're used to either getting our way or throwing in the towel real fast. So, for example, if we receive negative feedback, we might become our own roadblock by thinking to ourselves, well, I'm just not good enough for this. Or if we're told not to pursue something or someone, we may default to, this isn't right for me, or they just aren't for me. Instead of jumping the gun, we can take the advice with a grain of salt and remind ourselves that our stories are all different. And again, what works for somebody else may not work for you. And lastly, the fifth is advice similar to ourselves, constantly changing. They're changing with the times, with experiences, with opportunities. Because when we see the flexibility and malleability, that means how things shift and change, it's a subtle reminder that advice is impacted by an ever-changing world. So sometimes our own past experiences or what we see or perceive, especially if it's a little traditional or old school, like my son thought about my advice from the 1900s, it can transform over the course of time because what was applicable in 1901, not when I was alive, but in the 1900s, is definitely maybe not applicable in 2024. Now, it's important to apply the advice we receive versus our own natural instinct or intuition. And when we think about these two different things, some aspects that we may want to consider when it comes to advice application are the following. The first is the source reliable? So we want to think about our relationship with the source, their credibility, their motives, where they're coming from with this advice. We also want to consider, have we explored other options for this advice? Because it's important to seek different perspectives and not just rely on the one source. And it's important to also look at things from an unbiased perspective. And sometimes that means searching outside the people that live within our four walls or within the box that we usually interact with. It also means that we should ask ourselves, how can the advice be used for our betterments? So, is there an actionable thing for us to do here, right? Or does it match with our goals and our desires? Remember, we can't just take advice and say, okay, this is the advice we're taking and let it all happen by itself. We do need to put some effort behind these things. And then when it comes to instinct application, and remember just recently on episode 187, we talked about listening to your inner intuition. Instinct application are the decisions where we choose our own judgments and listen to our own intuition. And that provides the guidance on what we should do next. Using our instinct is putting trust in ourselves and in our own critical thinking skills. And it's so important to develop this because only we know the full story. Only we understand the little nuances that sometimes we don't mention when we're asking for advice of others. Because when we seek advice about a relationship we're in or in a career path we're pursuing, it comes from the outside looking in, which can be beneficial, but there's also some benefit when it comes from within. You might hear advice from similar experiences, but until you experience in your own shoes, you won't know what really may be best for you. So it is good to recognize when you should turn to yourself. Also, think about it. How many times have you heard someone say, "I really don't know why I did this, but it just felt right," right? Learning to sharpen our instinct application skills means that we then learn to be more mindful, learn to listen to our own minds, our own bodies, really understand what we're feeling, and then using all of that to find clarity in our inner intuition. But the reality is, my friends, that we can't stop all advice from coming our way, because if we did, I wonder if this would really leave us at a disadvantage. So instead, what we can do is sharpen our skills to make advice more positive and more effective, especially when we are the ones who are engaging in this advice giving. So, some tips to ensure effective feedback when we are giving advice to others include, first, to make the advice solicited. That means that they are asking for our advice. So, we want to make sure that we are not stepping past or stepping on any boundaries, and that the person we're speaking to is looking for a confidant and is asking us for our thoughts. We also want to challenge active listening, which can be also called mindful listening. We want someone to feel comfortable sharing their story, and we want to make sure that we hear, truly hear what they're saying, not just for a response, but truly to understand and comprehend and consider what they intend to get from us before we jump to respond. We also want to do a temperature check of the type of advice that we are giving. Check if you're expressing it in a helpful way or conveying it in a kind tone, because we want to appreciate the vulnerability and honesty that it took someone to even come to us for this advice. Also, let the advice be a conversation rather than a lesson. For example, if you do have a piece of advice to give, let the receiving end bounce back ideas or thoughts as well, or offer their own thoughts. Something I often say in and out of the therapy room is, "Well, I wonder how things would go if dot dot dot." When I say I wonder, that means I'm just planting a seed, right? Having the person then think about it from their perspective instead of just direct advice giving that may or may not go well or may or may not be well received or even work. Also, keep an open mind, not just when receiving advice, but when giving advice too. When we are open-minded, we might see new possibilities ourselves. Also, it reminds us that there isn't just a one way to approach things, and a one way fit or a one size fits all isn't the only solution out there. And maybe we can learn things in the process too. And lastly, be respectful. This includes having honest conversations, having empathy, and having good communication skills. We know that people have different backgrounds, objectives, and journeys, and recognizing that our goal isn't to fix their issue, but rather when we recognize that our goal should be to support them through their learning or through their healing process is a major way of how we can be kind and offer grace while still giving great feedback. And when we receive advice and make decisions from the advice that we receive, here are a few things to keep in mind. Last thoughts. First, do an assessment of sorts, right? Really discern what the problem or what the question is. This really takes mindfulness into consideration because you have to understand what actually is it that's happening here instead of jumping to a conclusion or jumping to a certain perspective. We want to make sure that we assess what the benefits and risks are and what we really need to take action on. Second, have flexible thinking and flexible judgment, or maybe no judgment at all. And what I mean is that whether this is being non-judgmental or just exercising our own judgment, this is a tool that we use, again, kind of like our intuition, to weed through indecision and through weed through what is actually good for us. And lastly, evaluate your choices. Is it more helpful to turn to someone, or is this something that we need to trust our guts on? And sometimes it's okay to ask other people, but try to make a decision for yourself so that you can really flex and really fine-tune that skill. Think about what options are more time efficient, cost efficient, what's more meaningful, who's most well-informed, what's most relevant, because all of these types of questions let us evaluate what we need for our own decision-making journey. So, my friends, as times change, so does our need for advice. Recognizing when to take advice and when to follow our own judgment is very important. It really does come down to step one of mindful living, which is having awareness. And that includes self-awareness, social awareness, and listening to your own mind, to your own body, so that you can again learn to trust your inner intuition and make the decisions that work best for you. I now invite you to join me on the short guided meditation. So, as you breathe at your own pace and relax wherever it is that you are listening to my voice, begin by reflecting on the concept of advice. Consider the wisdom, perhaps, that others have shared with you and the guidance that you have offered to those around you. And notice if anything you heard, or as you think about these thoughts, notice if any thoughts or emotions arise as you explore these past experiences. Now bring your attention to the act of giving advice. Visualize yourself offering guidance to someone in need. Imagine you standing confidently and the words of wisdom flowing effortlessly from your heart, filled with compassion and understanding after someone has directly asked you for your advice. Notice how it may feel to share your knowledge with kindness and with sincerity. And as you continue to explore the practice of giving advice, remember that true wisdom comes from a place of humility and empathy. Embrace the opportunity to support others on their journey without attachment to the outcome. Trust that your words have the power to uplift and inspire those who receive them, if it is that your words suit their needs. And next, friends, I want you to shift a little bit to the practice of receiving advice. Imagine yourself in a moment of vulnerability, seeking guidance from someone you trust. Open your heart and your mind to the wisdom that is being offered to you, allowing yourself to be receptive to new perspectives and new insights. And as you think about this, or if you are experiencing this in real life, notice any resistance or hesitation that arises within you as you receive advice. And instead of pushing these feelings away, gently acknowledge them with compassion and curiosity, and allow yourself to explore the underlying emotions that may be influencing your response. Remember that receiving advice is an act of courage and humility. It requires vulnerability and openness to growth. So trust in your ability to discern what resonates with your inner truth, and let go of any judgments or preconceptions that may cloud your perceptions. And as you continue to breathe deeply in these last few moments, take a moment to express gratitude for the wisdom that surrounds you. Whether you're giving advice or receiving advice, honor that exchange of knowledge and compassion that connects us all as human beings. Remember, my friends, you hold much more truth in your mind and in your heart than you probably give yourself credit for. And always remember that in a world where you are free to be anything that you want to be, you are always free to be mindful. Catch you next week.